Matthew chapter number 6. And we're going right into verse number 9. Disciples are interested in learning the key secret of Jesus' power. And before every decision he made, before every great miracle performed, before he dealt with adversarial devils, Jesus was found communing with the Father. And his attitude was, I will do nothing unless I get word from the Father, get direction from the Father. He was always in submission to the Father. And they wanted to know, well, can you teach us how to do this? Because we need to be able to carry this on, right? And this is what he said, in this manner, therefore, pray. My goodness. Don't you think the church ought to be praying a little bit more? Yeah. Really, needs to be praying a little bit more. Because if we come with humble hearts before God, great things will happen, as they did for Jesus, as they did for the early church. Listen, the buildings used to shake when they prayed. They knew how to pray, amen? Therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a great prayer. So we honor you, Father. Thank you. Your kingdom is in us. And you're here by the Spirit of God. And all the works of the adversary are destroyed in your presence. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a fire shut up in my bones. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. And I watch people who've been in the church for many, many years, who grew up in the church. And then I watch them as they kind of like, I'm just kind of sliding for home, Pastor. Hope I cross home plate one day. And then I see others that are running full out all the way to the end of the line. Amen. And I want to be one of those that runs this race well all the way to the end of the line, full of the passion of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. There's stuff we can do that makes a difference. And there's a fire in me that wants to explode out of me. Now, I taught about this prayer from the book of Luke. I want to look at it a little bit from Matthew and how he recorded it, because there are nuances in this version that God desires for us to look at and to understand. Because the Holy Spirit, he has different angles that he allows us to see so we get a fuller, more complete revelation. And we only desire to go where God is. We don't want to go past where God is. We don't want to fall short of where God is. I want to go where God is. And because of that, I want you, the church, to win. I want you to have victory. I want you to live in victory. Now, I'm going to speak of the kingdom culture. I've talked about values. I'm going to talk about the kingdom culture. And that's the order of God's kingdom, the order of God's kingdom, because it is transformational when you understand that God has a kingdom and we're supposed to be a part of that kingdom. Now, what is culture? Culture is the behavior or beliefs of a particular group. It's the behavior or the beliefs of a particular group. In God's kingdom, there are certain beliefs and certain behaviors that are exclusive to his kingdom, that belong only to his kingdom. And the assignment for the follower of Jesus is to deliver good news, to disciple those you have brought to salvation, which brings the influence of the kingdom of God to earth. And we desire to see his kingdom lived out in this culture by followers of Jesus. And not just those who say, I'm a Christian, check the box once or twice a month or so on Sunday, but those who are followers of Jesus. Why? Because we're living in the end of days. There is threat of terrorism, and there is actual terrorism going on even as we speak in the world. There are signs of the times. There are events, pain, suffering. people stripped and left without anything. We have a responsibility in a culture that's losing hope rapidly to love, live, and lead like Jesus did. Now, yes, there is hope for the terrorist. Absolutely. And many of them, I wish I had time to go into this with you, and I will in one of these messages. There's hope for the terrorist watching people who have absolutely a God that teaches them hate, that has filled their hearts with bitterness and anger. There's no love whatsoever in that relationship they have with their God. And all of a sudden, the love of Jesus breaks that stony heart and blesses them, and they have a full 180-degree turnaround. And the next thing you know, they're serving Jesus, whom they hated. Amen? And there's hope for the terrorist. There's hope for the sexually bound, for the murderer, for the addict. No matter how far we've gone down that road, God is still able to redeem us. Jesus is the answer. Amen? And many today have religion. They're seeking God, but don't know which road to take. So they're taking whatever, they create a religion to suit themselves. They want it their way. It's called humanism. It's a religion. And they know they need God, and they know they need something outside themselves, but they don't look in the right place because they look to seek God on their own terms. They want God on the terms of their own definition. In other words, what's good for me, how it fits into my lifestyle. A God that will, I can shape the way I want him to look, that will allow me to do the things I'm comfortable with rather than him telling me how to live. I want God on my terms. I want God my way. And that's not the way God is going to be handled. We don't tell God how we're going to live in the sense that we are going to dictate to him how it's going to work. He has told us how it's going to work. So here's how it looks. When introduced to the king, listen, he brings life. So all of a sudden, when they're doing whatever they want to do on their own terms, when they're really introduced to the king, he brings life, not death. Because the broad road they're on, many there be that find it, and then there are the few on the narrow road that leads to life. Listen, he brings life, not death, and we are to be ambassadors. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. So God wants to speak to a hopeless culture through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be what? Reconciled to God. God wants to have reconciliation with his creation. This is fantastic. And we're the ones who are to be the carriers of the message of reconciliation. And we are to establish an embassy, a bit of heaven in a different location in the middle of our culture. And the rule of Christ's love is to be displayed in this zone of safety. Wherever we are, a body of followers of Jesus entrusted with a mission accountable to a sovereign. That's what ambassadors are. They are entrusted with a mission. They are accountable to a sovereign. And that's exactly what we are. We have a mission and we have accountability. We report back to our leader to the principles of his kingdom. Have we done the things that he's asked us to do? We cannot be a culturalized church as usual people. That's not what God wants to bless, because that doesn't always represent the kingdom. It doesn't always represent heaven's best. To receive the support of heaven, we must remain connected to the Lord and also connected in the sense that we have built a network of people we interact with in our culture. Are we ambassadors for Christ? Then we must interact with those that were sent to minister to and to bring a message to. And we have to have connection with them. So where's Pastor going with us? Well, there are three principles I'd love to speak about out of this passage. But I'll probably only have time for one of them. So maybe we'll have more later, right? Next time. Well, first of all, I want to speak of praise as it relates to Jesus' kingdom. I want to speak about praise as it relates to Jesus' kingdom. Praise is a must, needed quality for displaying kingdom culture. It's a must needed quality for displaying kingdom culture. Praise is a key piece of kingdom culture. And how we articulate praise is very important in his kingdom. Now, some people equate praise with only outward expression, exclusively. But praise first begins in the heart. Then it expresses from our mouth. So we cannot remain quiet when it's time to praise. Praise differs from meditation. When we're meditating in God's word, we remain quiet. We are subdued before the Lord because we're trying to hear what it is he's saying to us in our spirit man. But once there's revelation into our spirit man, when revelation happens, listen, that expresses itself in praise. And we give thanks to God. And you can't remain quiet. You just look upward and give thanks to God. Listen, we clap our hands because we are expressing praise to God. We open our mouths expressing our heart's response to the goodness of God. Even in a terrible circumstance, we have learned how to praise. We still express praise even when everything is not going right in our lives. Seeing that God is good, when our lives are a wreck, we still see how good God is. You're telling God how good he is when you're struggling to pay a bill. You never allow what you're facing to change who he is. It's not that I don't have problems. They don't change my perspective about who God is. That's how his kingdom culture is designed and organized to function. You have a crisis. It came on you suddenly. The tendency in all of us is to judge God by our crisis. Why did you allow this to happen to me? No, that's not the question. The question is, what do I need to hear from you in all of this? I still praise you, even though I don't understand, even though I can't connect the dots. If I'm in a trial, I have a triumph coming after it. If I'm weeping tonight, I know joy is coming in the morning. And I start celebrating what is next, not just living in what I'm in. I remain trusting even though I'm taking a hit. Paul said, even though we are knocked down, we get back up. We're not out. Praise is being thankful. I am thankful. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be what? Thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. Pressure taking us to the breaking point, but we're still praising God. Amen? God intervening, sudden turnaround. There's a healing. There's a restoration. There is debt cancellation. But we learn to praise God in spite of. I don't have to have a good day to praise God. I make my day good by praising him. Amen? Are you listening to this? I make my day good by praising him. It's not that there's some, it's not that I'm not having a problem. I'm still in the middle of a problem. But there's nothing wrong with me, even though I'm having a problem, and I'm still praising God. Even though I'm hurting, I'm still praising God. It's not what the culture expresses when there's pain or disappointment or circumstances. So they're going to wonder about your disposition. How is it that you're having the same struggle I'm having, but your disposition about it is different than mine? You don't know where your teen went last night, and they are rebelling, and they're not following the things you've asked them to do, but I'm praising God because all is well. God has this. Amen? I said, God has this. And I'll say something good to God when bad things are happening to me. I'll still say, you're still God. Amen? It's our culture, our kingdom culture. Now, there's nothing wrong with us. The world will look at us and go, you're strange people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are a peculiar people. Kingdom culture gives God praise even when things don't go as we'd like them to go. Praising doesn't mean I don't have a problem. I'm saying hallelujah. It doesn't mean I'm not experiencing a problem. Just because I'm paying tithes and giving offerings doesn't mean I have no financial needs. It means I'm expressing kingdom culture. No matter what I'm facing, I'm going to praise. It's what I do because I'm a part of the kingdom of God. I'm a part of the culture of God's kingdom. Now, praise has to surpass your warfare. I'm in a battle, and the devil has attacked. But you have to upgrade your praise when the devil is attacking. Your praise needs to surpass the warfare that's entered your life. And if you feel the devil has singled you out, anybody ever feel like that? Go to another dimension of praise. We don't come down when we're facing a battle. We go up in praise. Well, how can I praise him more? Praising when I am in church, yes. Now praising him on my way to church. Now praising him on my way away from church. Now praising him when I stop by the store to pick up a few things. Now praising him even in my work environment. And if warfare presents itself, praise above the warfare. Cry, call on God, grieve, but get up and praise the Lord. It's exactly what David did. These mighty men, when everything was taken away from them, they got up after crying and they got praising the Lord. There is stuff happening. I can't even express it, but I know the God who can fix it. Therefore, I will keep on praising him. And praise announces to everybody, I have a problem that you can't fix, but I know the God who can. Hallelujah. And we keep telling God good things when experiencing bad things. That's what makes us different than the culture around us. Because the culture around us just wants to complain and complain and complain and complain. And it never stops. And they complain about the way they look. And they complain about the style of their hair. And they complain about not having this. And they complain that that didn't work the way they wanted it to. And they complain when they look in the mirror. And they complain when they look at somebody else. And they complain and complain. And as a man thinks in his heart, what we think in our heart is kingdom culture. Are you listening to me? I said kingdom culture. Amen. In the middle of a challenge, in the middle of pain, in the middle of brokenness, when the default is to complain, we keep telling God how good you are, how great you are. God sees us and he knows what's happening in our circumstance. But you're still trusting me and you're still praising me and you're still honoring me in your life. We might not have the same warfare on any given day, but the culture of the kingdom, we praise our God. We praise him. In Genesis 29, there's the story of Laban and his daughters, Leah and Rachel. Rachel is a beautiful young lady. Leah is not so beautiful. And she has weak eyes. Jacob, who's joined his uncle working for him because he's been on the run, escaping his brother, works for 7 years for Rachel. And finally he marries her. And he wakens the day after he married her, only to find he has married Leah. Leah gives birth to Reuben, their firstborn, and Leah says, the Lord has looked upon my affliction, because she knows he has rejected her. He has not wanted her. She is not his choice. She has a second son, Simeon, and she says, May Jacob love me now. Maybe Jacob will love me now. She spells that out, maybe. Leah has a third child, Levi, And she says, maybe now my husband will be joined to me. She got a broken heart. Now watch this in Genesis 29:35. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Leah gave birth to Reuben, Simeon, Levi. Jacob still doesn't care for her. She feels rejected and dejected. She has a fourth son. Jacob may not want me, but I will praise God anyway. Judah represents praise. When you feel rejected, when you feel left out, when you feel all alone, break out in praise. Be like Leah through her pain, praising. We have to reflect the culture of Jesus' kingdom. Some feel alone at times. Some feel left out. Some feel, watch this stuff about feel. Some feel rejected. But Leah had a revelation. After all of this, I have given all I can give. You still don't want me. What I will do, I will have another child, and I will name him Praise to the Lord. And when Leah named him Judah, she named him Praise to the Lord. And learn how to praise in spite of everything that's happened to you. Understand, everyone will not treat you right. Not everyone will enjoy what you do or how you do it. You just have to learn how to praise God anyways. I learned how to better praise the Lord when some had rejected me. My praise level is higher because of times of rejection and betrayal. I learned from weak-eyed Leah how to praise God no matter what's happened in rejection toward me. Learn to praise the Lord. You give your best. Are there others who give their best? And it seems like while we're all giving our best, like no one wants to embrace it, no one accepts it, but you will still give God praise anyhow. You'll still bless him. See, he went from affliction to being unloved, the time that they should now be joined. And he refused to commit to her, and she said, okay, no matter, I will still praise my God. I will put aside the affliction, being unloved, a lack of commitment, not being into me because he's into Rachel, not going to worry. I will praise my God. It's amazing, isn't it? It's time in our lives to get past the worry and transition into Judah and start praising God. You've worried long enough. You've suffered long enough. You've been up all night long enough. Someone has even contemplated suicide. No, stop and start praising God. I see someone getting free tonight and praising God and even dancing for your victory because what happened to you is working for you. And your blood pressure spiked until you gave it to the Lord in praise, and then your blood pressure returned to normal. Thank you, Lord. In Psalm 22, there had been crying going on and weeping and mourning. And then in verse 3, but they said, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. And they started turning toward the Lord. Hallowed, holy be your name. They recognized who he was. And all of a sudden, after their crying, they begin to decree, but you are holy, hallowed be your name. And they said in Psalm 22, I cry in the daytime. Look, things are not going right, but you are holy. You are enthroned in the praise of Israel. Enthroned means invested in sovereign authority. And out of all the groaning, I start seeing him as holy. And he establishes his throne as I praise him, which means God inhabits the praises of his people. The cross-reference of that passage, when you begin praising in a storm, it means God has to come down and see about you. and check it out, like he did when Paul was in that dungeon and they began, and Silas, and they were beginning to praise God at midnight after being in a storm of beating and brutality and stench, and they praised the Lord, and God had to come down to check on his boys because they were still praising him. You're waiting for God to arrive, and here's how. When you create his culture, when you create his culture, see, God can't wait until you begin to praise him so he can reveal his power to you. He can't wait. But there are empty seats, Pastor, on Sunday night here and there. Yeah, there are. God will fill them. I'm not worried about that. There is an angel standing over here, and there's an angel standing over here. Whenever we give God praise, listen, the angelic hosts show up to see what we're praising about, because they're always looking in, checking in. It says it in 1 Peter, things which angels desire to look into. They want to check this out. Why are you making so much noise to the Lord? What is man that you are mindful of him? The psalmist asked. And when we praise the king, his angels want to observe. I wonder why God is so taken by his creation. They don't keep their word to you, Lord. They have betrayed you. They have rebelled against you. They begin to praise you, and all of a sudden you come off your throne and you go and check them out. What's that all about, God? Tell your neighbor, I know how to get God's attention. You release praise to him. You acknowledge his holiness. Hallowed, holy be your name. You thank him for being good to you. Amen. And my neighbor can't see it, and my church family doesn't see it, and my friends don't see it, but I can see it. Father, you've sure been good to me. I see myself out of this while I'm still in it, and I see you having delivered me while I'm still in the middle of it. It's the kingdom culture. The sovereignty of God's authority is now enthroned because he is sovereign in his kingdom. And God comes down and sits down in the midst of our circumstance. What a God we serve. God comes and sits with us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I wish everybody was out to hear that. Because that's a reference to this. The king's table was 75 feet to 100 feet in length. It's huge. And it was only reserved for the highest level people in his kingdom. The king I serve, when I'm in the middle of the battle, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When I'm in the middle of a fight, I'm on the front lines and I'm weary and I'm tired and I'm bloodied and I don't know if I can go another step. And all of a sudden, he sends a commanding officer to the front line, seeing me in my weariness, and he pulls me off the front line. And he's got this huge tent erected behind the lines, and it's the king's tent. And the only one in there is the king. And he surrounds it with all of his best soldiers so that we're totally protected. And he says, you come to my table. I want to sit with you. I want to refresh you. I want to feed you. I want to strengthen you. I want to affirm you. I want you to be able to go back out there and fight and win. But I know you need a break from the fight. You need a little one-on-one time with me. God comes down in the midst of our circumstance. Amen? Thank you, Lord. He comes and sits with us. Leah named her fourth son Judah. Judah, from that time on, represented praise in Israel. In Judges 20, when the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God, because there was one of the tribes that was going into a deviation of their sexuality, and they said, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin because of their behavior? And the Lord said, Judah first. Judah first. You wonder why the worship team comes out before the pastor. Because the word says so. Judah first. Pastor Michael understands this. You begin with praise before the word. It means I will articulate the word better if there has been praise in the house. I thank God for the worship team. I need them. I need Judah first. We become so culturalized that many churches don't stop and have praise before a business meeting. One of the most important things they're going to do all year. They don't even bother to have any praise. They just get down to business. Praise first. Why? God needs to show up before our meetings. Did you hear what I said? God needs to show up before our meetings. I don't know about you, when I rise in the morning, no matter what's happening in the household, release Judah in the house. God will show up in your house. So I'm setting the order tonight. Let's not awaken worrying. Let's wake up praising the Lord. Judah first. It happened with Jehoshaphat the same way. Being attacked by three armies at once. And what did he do? He appoints a choir made up of the tribe of Judah. And he dressed them in holy robes. Man, they had their choir robes on even. And they were to march ahead of the troops singing, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever." And as soon as they began to shout and praise, God set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir as they were attacking Judah, and they all ended up dead. They never drew a sword. The army behind them never had to draw a sword. Can you imagine these three armies? They're all well-equipped. They're all trained. They're going in. This is the second time they've decided to attack Israel. They were rejected the first time. Now they come back. This time we're going to fix them because we've got three armies combined into one. We're going to take Israel out. And they look out, and coming at them are not armed military personnel. They're people in choir robes. And they're singing to them. And they're singing the high praises of the Lord. And they attacked one another and massacred, it says, one another. Then further confused, they went at each other and all ended up killed. They decimated themselves. And where did it all begin? When Judah first. Judah went out in front of the army. Judah went out to face the oncoming enemy. And what happened? The enemy was routed. If you want to run the enemy off, start making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? A shift in perspective because we have kingdom culture. Will I get up with worry on my mind, or will I get up and begin to praise the Lord? I've made up my mind. I want to awaken to praise in the morning. I want to give God thanks in the morning. Not a litany of all the things that are worrying me and troubling me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I woke up this morning. I had breath. Guess what I did with it? I praised the Lord. I begin to give him thanks. So God will show up all day long because I've honored him. And in the order by which he wants things done, I've offered him praise. Who will go fight the Benjamites? Send praise first. I've had much to pray about, a long list. But before I began asking, I stopped and gave my Lord praise. You have to learn that. It's a discipline. It's difficult when you have a crisis to praise before you ask. But it is the order of God, and it is the order of his kingdom. Give God praise for what he has already done, and he will answer before you get done with your list. Amen? God, I need you to assist me. I need you to help me grow. I need you to help build the church at Calvary Christian Center. I need breakthrough in our community. The way I can get you engaged in my battles, I will praise you for all you have done. Amen? Not just praise you with my feet, but praise you in my heart and praise you with my mouth. While I'm preaching, praise is exploding up out of me because I am sure of the God that I serve. I know he can do something. He can do anything but fail. Amen? I trust my God. I believe my God. God's been good to me. I come before him with praise and thanksgiving and can worship my way out of a bad circumstance. And tonight, someone's situation is changing because you're opening your mouth and giving God praise. Everything, every force of darkness has to back up when you start praising God. Say, send Judah first.
Send Judah first.
Celebrate. Why don't you take a moment and celebrate the Lord? Praise Him. Yeah, celebrate Him. Celebrate Him. Send Judah first. And when you're caught in one of those moments and you don't know what to do because it's a crisis building around you, if you don't know what else to do, clap your hands. Say, Lord, I'm just going to clap my hands because I don't even know where to begin with this, but I'm just clapping my hands for thanksgiving toward you. Amen? And if you will commit to praising God in the order of His kingdom, make a covenant with Him, I will praise you at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. He will always show up in your circumstance. Doesn't mean there won't be pain. Doesn't mean there won't be struggle. Doesn't mean that you won't grieve. It means that He will show up in the middle of it. He will always show up. And when the flesh attempts to emotionally take you over, stop and let your heart begin to praise the Lord. And God will come down and sit with you and start speaking to you because He cares so much. He will have a one-on-one just with you, with a repentant heart, a heart that's prone to worship and not worrying and complaining. God will come down and sit with us. Like David, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit in me. David enjoyed praising God, and he said, I will not lose God's presence. God, take everything, but don't take your presence from me. Good things are happening in this place because people are ready to praise the Lord. Yokes are being destroyed here tonight. Burdens will be lifted here tonight. Release will come to you tonight because there's a culture of praise here because we are the culture of the kingdom of God. The presence of the Lord is here. And angels are descending and ascending. Why? Coming here to take our requests back before the Lord. There's a fresh anointing for everybody who engages in praise. And there's a breakthrough anointing. There is a release that will radiate throughout our homes, throughout our church, all over our campus, and right on into spilling into our community, because God wants to pour out His Spirit and redeem as many as possible before the return of His Son. And I decree to all worshipers, there is an inward encouragement in you right now that the devil will not be able to keep you down. He may have knocked you off your pegs, but he cannot hold you down. You may be facing a situation. You will have victory beginning in this service tonight because of your praise. Now watch this. In Psalm 108, verse number 8, God says, Judah is my lawgiver. In the Hebrew, here's what this means. Judah, my lawgiver. Judah is my hammer. Now watch. Are you hanging in there? What has been attempting to keep you out, lock you up, block you? God has placed a hammer of praise in your hand tonight. There's a superhero named Thor. Put him on the list, right? He carries a hammer. And when an enemy attempts to take him down, he releases the hammer. When an enemy attempts to supersede your ability, release the hammer that God gave you and praise the Lord. I said, release the hammer that God put in your hands and use it to praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Let's praise Him in the house. Let's thank Him. Let's honor Him. Let's worship Him with heartfelt thanks. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why don't we all run down here tonight and let's make a racket down here that shakes not only earth but shakes heaven and gets the attention of the Lord, because we genuinely from the heart want to praise Him, want to thank Him. Who wants to offer thanks for what He's done for you? Who wants to praise Him while you're still in the circumstance because you're going to come out of the circumstance? Who wants to praise Him because in spite of the fact that the enemy's stolen your family, God's going to bring them back because you're praising Him? God will come down and He will meet with you. Come on, let's praise the Lord, everybody.